All right, welcome everyone. This is session number 5, God's Gym. So just to recap, we've done journaling, where we quiet and calm ourselves so that the divine flow bubbles up, so that we can come into the presence of God and hear what He's saying to us. And then we write down what He says to us. We've learned how to study the Bible so that we're in our Bible, doing a chapter a week, just any chapter that allows us to just go through it, meditate on it, and glean the revelation out of it. And we've been learning about the Holy Spirit, how He speaks to us. It could be through images, moving pictures, pictures that start out faint and develop and get clearer and clearer. It can be through a word, just one word that we hear either in our outer ear or our inner ear, or it can be a paragraph or more. So we've got also, He can speak to us through an unction or an inward knowing that doesn't necessarily have words attached to it or a picture, but just a nudge on the inside. And that can either be a nudge towards something to do or a nudge away from something, an agitated feeling. This isn't right. There's no peace here. And go the other way. And then last week we were talking about praying in tongues solely for the purpose of building ourselves up in our most holy faith, of energizing our own selves like a generator or a turbine. Whereas it turns and more and more and more and more, then it creates electricity and a magnetic field, and it starts building up the recipient on the inside person, in your spirit person. So those are the four that we've got, and now we're going to build on that with the fifth week. And the fifth week, we're calling it, It Is Written. Okay, so you've got your notes written. Let me open in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank You for this opportunity that we have, Lord, where all these willing hearts are coming together, Lord, whether it be audio, video, or present in the room, Lord, that we're learning, Father, how to grow in the Spirit, how to become more mature in our character, how to follow Your leading, how to know You personally, Lord. That our consciences can be clear, that we can have consistent communion with You, and that our intuition and that divine knowing would get brighter and brighter and clearer and clearer, that we can receive from the Spirit into us, Lord, that we can grow thereby. And I just give You all the praise, Father, for Your faithfulness. I rejoice before You, Lord, for Your goodness. And I just thank You, Father, that it is Your good pleasure to give us the kingdom of God, that we'd be successful in these things. And we just resign ourselves to Your tutelage. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen. All right. So today it is written, and we're going to be talking about blessings, decrees, speaking the word, your inner conversation. And being thankful. Okay? That's all a lot. Sounds like it's a lot, but it's all pretty much going to be in the same vein of it is written. So today what we're going to do is we're going to go through a few things. And we're just going to look in the Bible. And let's just start there. Because we have two places that it's actually written. Can anybody guess where the two places are? You are exactly right. A student in the front row. Of course the A student's in the front row. Praise the Lord. She said, it is written in the Bible, and it is written in our hearts. Those are the two places it is written. Okay? And only the part of the Bible that we know and believe is the part of the Bible that is written on our hearts. Okay? You can read the Bible, but if it isn't the Bible that you know and believe, it can't save your soul. It's the engrafted or the implanting of the Word, James says, that is able to save us, that is able to renew us and change us. Okay? So it's only the part of the Bible that's actually in our heart helps us. So let's go starting off with Proverbs, very famous scripture, Proverbs 23:7. You can look up on the screen. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, he says to you, but this his heart is not with you. Okay, so this is talking about a deceptive person that is laying a trap for somebody else in this particular proverb, okay? It's about somebody who's really nice to you, tells you, eat your fill, enjoy my drink, sit at my table, but he's really laying a trap to catch that person. So what they're saying is, it's not the outward person that you show everybody else. It's the one on the inside is the real you. So as you think in the inside, that's the real you. Not what you tell everybody else on the outside. Unless you're like Nathaniel with no guile. You have no hidden agenda. You have no hypocrisy. You have no fear of man. You just are the same exactly on the inside as on the outside. Very few people are. There are a few, but there's not a lot of people. Most people regulate between what they're saying and thinking in here versus what comes out of here. But it's what we believe in here that's the real us. And on the inside of us, we have a dialogue, we have a conversation, we speak. And I want to let you know, that's the person, the one that does that speaking, is the one that God is working with. That's the one that's going to go into heaven. That's the you that is the genesis of you. All right? So it's Proverbs 23:7. Let's go over to Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. We're going to go Matthew 4, 1 through 10. Okay, so in Matthew chapter 4, this is about Jesus. He had already been water baptized by John. The Holy Spirit has descended upon him in the form of a dove, has lighted upon him. It didn't look like a dove. It didn't fly down like a dove. But it, as a dove is flying down, you know how they flap their wings and they just kind of have a gentle landing? The Holy Spirit came down on him like that. And remained with him. And John saw it. And then the Father spoke openly. And John heard it. And so did Jesus. And now the Spirit is taking Jesus and driving him into the wilderness. Verse 1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights... Just a little intrigue. That's going to be our last conversation on the eighth class. We're going to talk about fasting. I deliberately am doing it on the last class so I don't lose anybody. Because for some reason in church, fasting is a swear word. It's the taboo F word in churches. Fasting. So... But Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Afterwards, he was hungry. Now, when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, and that's the real question for all of us, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. But he answered and said to him, okay, Jesus did not have the Bible with him. He didn't have the scriptures. This was came out of his heart. It said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So that's the truth for everyone. Everyone. Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Verse 7, Jesus said to him, it is written, again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. And then in verse 7, he did it again, and in verse 10, it says, then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. You hear that? So, as the devil was tempting Jesus, this is important. As the devil was tempting Jesus, because Jesus had fasted for 40 days, he was weak. His flesh was defeated. And he was hungry. It's a different kind of hungry than if you fast for 2 weeks because you still have reserves. But after 40 days for an average person, you don't have any reserves left. You have to eat or you will die. Okay? And so the devil was saying, take care of your flesh. Take care of your flesh. Put your flesh first. And that's when he said, you don't live by feeding your flesh. You really live by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And we're learning that that comes through our spirit, through our inward knowing, through our inward knower, okay? And so we have to learn that through our inward knower is the real way that life enters us, not through our intellect, not through our flesh, not through our emotions. Then he tempted him to preserve his life about throwing himself off of the building. In other words, now he's putting deity, what's the right word, on notice. Hey, you got to catch me now. I'm going to go. You got to catch me. Don't tempt the Lord thy God. Don't do that. You don't have to prove anything. And then finally, away with you. He'd had enough. He was done with it. And again, what did he say on the last one? For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. The devil's saying, if you only bow down to me, that's all, one time is all it takes, just once. And I'll give you everything in this world, all the riches of this world. Nope. So Jesus proved he was detached from everything in this world, even self-preservation. Okay? So what he had to stabilize him was the word of God, what was written. And we need to have what is written to be our stability also. We can have revelation by the Holy Spirit. We can go in and out of heaven and God will talk to us face to face. But that is not where we live. And I'll give you one story when I might have told you this already, but when I wanted to see the Lord, meet him face to face, he took me into outer darkness. I was terribly afraid. He showed me my whole life, and he told me no, no, no about everything I believed. He erased everything and told me that is not who you are. And he held the Bible open, and he said, this, learn it. Speak. Speak as I would speak. Agape. So this is what we needed for our acid test, for our base, for our final authority in everything. Because if it's off of revelation that you got, the devil can always tempt you that you missed it somehow. You misunderstood. You interpreted it wrongly. Whatever. And so this is the one thing. So we're going to talk about that today in the Bible. If you will, go with me to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. But he didn't leave it there. Go to verse 9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Who forgets that from time to time? Who forgets that from time to time? That the Lord is with me wherever I go. Do not be dismayed. Do not be afraid. He did not give us a spirit of fear, right? But of power and love and a sound mind. Amen? All right. Have I convinced you that you need the Word of God as your foundation? Good. We'll move along then. So, we've got to have the Bible. We've got to be grounded in the Bible. Next thing. As a pastor and dealing with people in prayer all the time, I run into a lot of people that are believing God for a healing of some sort or another. Finances, the life of a friend, something. And if I ask them, what verses in the Bible are you standing on? Guess what percentage of the people are able to give me two or three verses? Maybe one. Maybe one. So few that I don't even know. So few. Because most people aren't truly putting their trust in the Word of God. They're actually depending on, from the ones that I've met, depending that God loves them. And because he loves them, he's going to do this for them. And then when it doesn't happen, then their heart is in question as to, what am I doing wrong? Where did I miss it? Am I in sin somewhere? How come God's not doing it for me if he did it for somebody else? Because they're using their relationship as grounds for God to move in their life. You can't do that. You remember the parable about the guy going to get the bread? He was knocking on the door, knock and keep on knocking, ask and keep on asking, seek and keep on seeking. It says, not because he was his friend, but because of, my paraphrase, his relentless knocking. His irritable, continuous, relentless knocking is the only reason I got out of bed and gave it to him. Okay? So it's the Word, the Word, the Word. The devil was defeated by Jesus using the Bible. Okay? So, and how does it say that we're going to overcome the devil in Revelations? There's one more. It's three parts. There you go. Why is it people conveniently forget that one? And I even hear sermons on TV, and it's amazing how they don't quote that one. They'll say, we overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb. The word of our testimony. Hallelujah. And not loving my life, even if I die doing this. That means, how really serious is coming into the kingdom, into the presence of Jesus, and making him and the Father our absolute priority. I'm not trying to condemn anyone. Not at all. I'm just saying that sometimes we hold back from really giving our whole heart to God, our whole life to God. It says that we need to love him with our whole life. Right? All of our strength, all of our might, all of our soul, all of our mind. Okay? So, not to condemn anyone, but to show you the priority of our part as far as pursuing him with everything we've got. Okay? So, this little book was given to me. I talked to you about it on the first day. It is Who I Am in Christ. Great little book. Just a great little book. And you can get downloaded off the internet for free. And for everybody here, I'll just give it to you again. It's the email is info@whoiaminchrist.net. Lenora King has some available also. In fact, she's the one that gave me this one. I had another one, but she gave me this. This one has a great red cover on it, really nice. The other one's more plain Jane. So, or if you want to download it as a PDF file, I did that also. It is whoiaminchrist.net. www, of course. And it's a free download. Okay, and it says this booklet may be freely reproduced or translated in any format with a copyright license. Send request to. And it has it, okay? So they want you to read this and have this. And it's got, it goes through the whole New Testament and tells you who I am in Christ. It's a great read. And what we're talking about is this book of the law shall not depart from my mouth. It shall not depart from my eyes. I will be in it until it becomes one with me. Right? Okay. So, we have to retrain our inner person on our inner speech, our inner dialogue, because what you say in your heart is more important than what you tell any person. It's much more important. Coming out of the recovery ministry, as you know, that I have a background in recovery ministry, that these people are severely abused, broken, demolished people. And they have broke, abused, and demolished other people. Because broken people break people. It's just the way, if you only can do what you know is what you can do. You can only reproduce you in the world. That's all you can do is reproduce you. So, we talk to these women that have been through really horrific things, but the Bible says that Jesus was in all points tempted. That means in every category he was tempted just like you and I were tempted. That doesn't mean he experienced every experience that we've experienced, except in the fact that God is an expression of himself through each and every one of us. But that's not the life that Jesus lived while he was as a man on the earth. But every situation you can be in, it's not what happened to you that hurt you. Let that sink in. Because too many people blame the other person or what they lived through as the problem, because it happened to them. And they think that's the problem. It's not. It absolutely, unequivocally is not the issue. That's why we need to forgive everyone and everything that's ever happened to us. Let it go. Because believe it or not, that's not what damaged us. What damaged us was what we said when it happened. What we said in our heart when it happened. Because what we said when it happened, how we named that moment in our life, and we named it and identified it and made a decision about that moment, that wrote on our innermost, deepest person. And that writing that's on that innermost, deepest person lives in us until we remove it, continually bringing things into our world to let us prove that what we said in our heart is true. Because God has made this world in an incredibly fantastic way. This world is designed to prove you right. Isn't that great? It's designed to prove you right. And God will bring people into you, not like he's a puppet master, but it's by the way that we're designed. I don't want to get into it, but think of it like a magnet or a sound, a musical note. And say that you're giving off this musical note. Well, that musical note that you're giving off attracts everything that is that same musical note. And they harmonize together. Okay? If you take one guitar and face it to another guitar and you pluck the string of this acoustic guitar, it will cause the string on the opposite guitar to start vibrating at the exact same tone and frequency. Okay? And you never touch it. The tone itself manifests in the next guitar. When you believe something, people come to you to prove what you believe is true, even if it's a lie, even if it's hurtful, no matter what it is. Whatever you say about yourself and how you identify the world around you, this world will cause situations to happen where you can prove that is absolutely true. See, I'm right. They always treat me that way. See, I'm right. Nobody wants me around. See, I'm right. Everybody loves me and hugs me and wants me around. See, I'm right. Everybody loves my cooking. See, I'm right. Nobody ever invites me over to their house. Whatever it is you say in your, I'm just throwing things out there that are not going to identify anybody's personal hurts. Whatever you say in your heart, you get more of. That's why we have to learn how to change our inner dialogue. The only way you can erase a truth that you call the truth in your heart, or an offense, or a hurt, or a pattern that consistently repeats itself over and over through your years, is to have God tell you something different about yourself. And in that light, that prior word will evaporate, will be disappeared, if God will tell you. And you got to get in his presence and have a conversation about it. But you have to acknowledge that it's there. If you can't acknowledge that you're carrying it, he can't help you with it. If you don't forgive others, your Heavenly Father won't forgive you. That doesn't mean he's mean. It means he's not going to pull it out of you without your participation. You have to volunteer it. So, we need to find out what the Bible says so that we can let the Bible be the final authority, so that when we come up against what we believe in our heart, we will relinquish what we actually believe is true and let the word supersede it and give us a new truth. And we have to be willing to release, let go of, divorce, lay down, throw away what we have priorly decided is truth. Okay? I'm not trying to go to inner healing, but we got to deal with inner conversations, our inner dialogue. Because in the church, there's an epidemic. And the epidemic is this. Your head goes up and down, up and down, up and down. Do you believe this? Your head goes up and down. Does the Bible say that? Your head goes up and down. Do you know what I mean? Your head goes up and down, but your inner conversation may not change. Okay? You've got to deal with the inner conversation. So, let me just move on. We'll talk about questions after I'm done. That was a lot. Okay? So what do we do to change our inner conversation? One, we get into the Bible and we find out what God says. And Jesus said, okay, I'm going to tell you something that's very simple, but it is not at all easy. I'm just telling you, it is not easy. You got to be committed. You've got to be committed to being different, to getting different results in your life. You just got to be. And here's what I'm just going to tell you the truth. This is too important of a class to candy coat it. Too many people are dying quietly. They're aggressively hurting the people that are very close to them, and they're isolating and separating themselves from the very people they are called to be one with. Because you separate yourself so that nobody will prick your heartstrings. They won't push your buttons. They won't make you face something that you don't want to face. So we isolate, we separate, and we divide. Okay? God says we're one, we need to love and edify one another, and that we're supposed to love one another and be fitly joined together one to another. That means we have to change what's causing us to divide. You know what a magnet is? It has a north and a south pole on a magnet. Okay? I don't want to get into all the details of magnetism, but if you've noticed that a magnet, in the simplest explanation, one side of each of the magnets will be drawn together, and one side, if you turn one magnet around, you cannot put them together. They absolutely repel one another. It's a force field kind of a thing. It's not a force field, but I don't want to explain magnetism right now because it'll just give you too many things to think about. But the point is, you guys know that you're right, that opposites attract and that things that are the same repel each other, okay? In the magnetic world. So what we have to do is be converted. That means change your direction. Go the opposite way. And then you'll be drawn to people. So here's how you do it. Okay, this was not a teaching, but it's very important to grow in God's gym, I guess, or we wouldn't be doing this. So when we have friction with another person, when there's some reason we don't like that other person, they irritate us, we want to get away from them, even the sound of their voice drives us crazy, whatever it is, they don't smell right, okay? They look at me funny. They always think it's all about them, whatever it is. The way you change that is you say, I'm the problem. I'm the problem. I'm the problem. I wouldn't be feeling this way if I didn't exist. I'm very serious. I'm not playing with you. If it's in you, you have to fix it with the Holy Spirit's help. It has nothing to do with the other person. It has to do with you. It's never them. Okay, that could be a little bit too firm. Let me just say it this way. Let me be a little bit clearer. Because, you know, different people do a lot of things. Okay? I'm not talking about if somebody's guilty of a crime and they need to pay the penalty of that crime. That's not what I'm talking about. I am talking about the way you feel when you're in their presence or when you think about them. Okay? Whatever happened to make it so that you're repelled and repulsed by that person means that you have to repent You have to acknowledge what's in you that's making this repelling happen. What is it they're doing? Who do they remind you of? What happened in your past that they're triggering again? And then bring that to the Lord. Confess it as sin, because it's dividing you from others. Confess it as sin. Let him remove it from you and restore you to complete righteousness. Okay? And then it's gone. You got to humble yourself to do that, though. You got to own it. Okay? So, that's the biggest thing in the self-talk that we've got to talk about. Because what happens in a broken soul, in an untrained soul, is we think we understand. We think that we know what's going on. We think that our assessment of the situation is the correct one. Okay? And it's them that is missing it or offending or whatever the case may be. Okay? It's not. It's what I believe in my heart is the problem. Get rid of that belief, clean up that belief, and all of a sudden, they're fine again. Now, I'm not talking about if you've been molested by somebody that you need to be their best friend. That is not at all what I'm talking about. Because you have to have wisdom. That's called reconciliation. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about forgiving somebody to get your heart clean so that you don't carry the toxin anymore. Okay? I'll just give you a little piece of wisdom since we're being recorded for all years to come. There's nowhere in the Bible, not even one verse in the Bible, that says you're supposed to trust people. There's not even one verse that says you're supposed to trust people. It says you put your trust in God. Okay? When we're aligned with the Holy Spirit, we've cleaned out our heart, we've been forgiven, we forgive others, we release every negative thing that we hold and think about ourselves or others, and we clean that up, then we become what's known as the pure in heart. When we're the pure in heart, to the pure, all things are pure. To the defiled, all things are defiled. If you're still looking at that people are evil, people are bad, there's something wrong with them, you haven't cleaned some stuff out yet. You got to get God's perspective. Okay? Jesus never blamed anyone. He said, forgive them. They don't understand what they're doing. Forgive them. Okay? The only way we can do that is if we've really given our life to the Lord. And it's a mano, one-on-one, me and him. When it's me and him as one and one, then my respect goes to God. I'm not a respecter of persons now. I'm a respecter of God. And I care what God says about me, what God thinks, and what God is telling me to do in any given situation, not people. Okay? Now, I'm not talking about if you have a boss or an authority or a parent, if you're a child, that you don't obey them. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about your inner conversation. That's all I'm talking about. What you say in your heart about you. What you say in your heart about others. How you define the world around you from your heart's perspective. That's all I'm talking about. The Bible says we're supposed to deny ourselves. That means that person that we have created, yes, we've created that person from birth till the day before the light went on. And all the things we say about ourselves, all the things we say about others, all the blame, all that stuff, we need to let it go. Deny it, let it die, and I'm going to give you another nugget. Ready? I've told you this before, but I find that many people forget it because it's just hard to grasp. everything that's ever happened to you, everything you've ever thought, everything you've ever learned, every relationship, every experience is not you. It's what you've recorded and collected. It's what you've put in the bag of your heart. And mistakenly so, so many people call it me. I'm this way. I'm that way. That is not you. It's what you've recorded and collected. You, when you were born, were 100% you when you came out of that womb. You were 100% you. But from that moment, you started recording and collecting information unaware. It just happens. It's just how we're created. And it's a collection of those things that we identify, we sort, we catalog, and we name. Okay? And then we identify ourselves with those things. If you were in an accident and you got amnesia and you completely forgot who you were, you can be molded into anything. You have certain innate things that you'd hang on to because of muscle memory, but not because you're able to recall a thought or a period of time. Okay? So, the truth is, what God says about us is the real us. Because we've been born of the Spirit, so now we collect information from the Spirit and start cataloging, sorting, identifying, and naming the information that comes through our spiritual senses now. And that is going to be coming from God and from the throne of God. Therefore, it will be love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, patience, all these kinds of things, righteousness, forgiveness, because our identity will come from God and not from the collection we accumulated in the earth. Too many people identify themselves by the way other people treat them, and it's wrong. It'll hurt you every time. Your life will dry up quickly when you do that. So, we're created to operate by faith. We call things that absolutely do not exist whatsoever. There's no proof of them. There's no show of them. There is nothing at all of it. It does not exist at all. But merely because we decide we want it to exist, it becomes true and real by us believing by faith for it. Okay? Too many people in healings of their bodies. We have collected so much negative thoughts about ourselves. We've believed so much of the hurtful things that other people have done to us and how they've named us and treated us and betrayed us, stabbed us in the back, and all the things, lied to us, stolen from us, rejected us, hurt us. We let all that stuff go into our bag of our heart, and our body can't handle it. Remember, at the end, and our body can't handle it, and so it rebels and gets sick because of the way we think. So by faith, what we do is we identify ourselves in the Spirit, and we say what God says, and we rejoice, and we're thankful, and we bless others, even those that persecute us. The ones that really hurt us bad, we bless them. It's not normal to do that. It is not, like I told you, this is simple. It is not at all easy to do. It is just not easy to do. That's why you have to be fully committed to it. You can't do it half-heartedly. I'll tell you, I'm living proof you cannot do the keto diet and still eat sugar. You know why? Because it's not the keto diet if you're eating sugar. It's just high fat and sugar. That's all it is, okay? We have to be fully committed to renewing our minds, to getting different results in our life, okay? And when the brain fog comes, when the emotions flip out, when our physical flesh is freaking out, we have to take it under control. That's why Jesus fasted for 40 days soon as he was baptized in the Holy Spirit. Soon as he got the power of God, he put his flesh totally down right away before he did any miracles or any expressions of the baptism. He got his flesh completely under control, and the devil tempted him in all areas. He won by telling him, this is what God says. This is what God says. It's written. It's written. It's written. Then he can be a son of God. He can walk as a son of God because he got himself squared away. Most of us don't ever take it that seriously, and therefore we sometimes get results, sometimes we don't. Sometimes we're on cloud nine and we're zinging. It is great. And then something comes and pulls the carpet out from under us, and we've got a new problem we have to deal with out of the blue. You know that? Or we'll be dealing with something, we'll be really focused, we'll be pressing in, we'll be believing God, we'll be saying the right things, we'll get it right at the second it starts trying to give us any problems, and we start making some progress, the pain goes away, and we forget about it. Months later, bang, it hits us full blown again, and instead of saying no and hit it hard, we go, it's back again. I don't know what happened. I thought I got the victory over it. Okay? We have to get it fully cleaned up in our hearts. So what we say in our hearts is paramount. Again, we are not our experiences. We are the person that is aware that we exist. Okay? That's why we can let go of that whole identity and we won't die. And that's how we can put on Christ and walk in Christ according to the Spirit. Okay? Is that all right? So let me just change channels and go another way now. I have for you a starting place. I'm going to get three people to pass these out so that you'll have them. But for now, let me just do them. Ready? I can read to you in the Bible where it says to bless other people. Okay? I actually wrote down several scriptures to help. Okay? It says blessing at the top. It says I bless. And then it gives you a line. And it gives you 10 numbers. Okay? Testimony. I had a friend who stopped being my friend because I thought he was doing me wrong. I worked in a vending machine business, and I had to fill all the candy and soda pops and potato chips and cookies and crackers and all the gums and all that sodas and all that stuff. And it's a lot when you have to pack all that stuff to the vending machines. Okay, it's a lot of stuff. You take the money out and you load the vending machine up. Then you go to the next stop and you do the same thing. Well, when you're a vending machine driver, you want to get your route done as soon as possible. So you like it for you if they don't eat much of the stuff so you can fill it back up again. You collect the money and you give it to your boss. Okay? Your boss wants them to eat all the stuff. And then you fill it with more. Well, one man on a big route can't do it all. So you break it up with guys, and you have those vending machines. They're restocked every day, but I would only have to restock it two or three times a week. And I have a partner that would restock it two or three times a week. One Toyota car dealership was huge, big account. They ate a lot of the candy and soda pops and all that good stuff. But it seemed like every week I was having to fill the entire machine. And then we had another academy for the children, and they had like six machines down these big steps. Okay, big problem account, good money account, and I'd have to fill all of it. So I thought my partner was just pulling the money out and not filling the machine so that I could double fill it when I got there. And it put a wedge in my heart towards him. And I said in my heart, I don't think he's filling the machines. I said in my heart, he's just sliding along. I have to carry all his weight. I started doing a wonderful thing that most people are very proficient at. Murmur, 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 complain, 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 murmur, 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 thinking evil, murmur, murmur, blame, 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 blame. After a week or two of it, I started getting really irritated, and I started not fellowshipping with him and cutting him off. I was short. I didn't help him fill his trucks like I used to. We'd help each other fill our trucks. We just kind of parted our ways. He never changed. I was sour towards him, though. He didn't know I was mad. I never told him I was mad. I went to my boss, and I says, so-and-so is skating on these accounts. And I think he's just pulling the money and making me have to fill all the machines. And my boss looks at me, and a big old smile comes on his face. And you know what he said? He says, yeah, me and my brother used to do those accounts. I would think the same thing about him. But the truth is, they just empty them every single day. They're great machines. They just really produce really well. So it's just great accounts. He's not doing that. So bummed out, because I really honestly by now believed he was doing that, and what my boss said was just trying to placate me and make me feel better so that I can keep going. But when I go to the machines, I still felt like that. It was still alive inside of me. Okay? So then one day as I'm driving out, I'm pulling out. It's nighttime. It's dark. There's no one around. It's late. I'm filling this machine. I'm leaving this account. The Holy Spirit so sweetly says, so, what's it like? And I said, what do you mean, what's it like, Lord? He says, what's it like to be stewing like that all the time? I said, it sucks. It's terrible. I hate it. He goes, why don't you try blessing him then? Speaking well of him. Okay? I said, all right, I'll try it. I hated him. I'm being honest. I hated him. He was guilty in my eyes and in my heart. He was totally guilty. He was doing it. And I'm supposed to bless him. All right, I'll try it, Lord. Father, I just ask you to just bless him. I ask that his money goes further than it ever has before. I ask that every desire he has in his heart, you would fulfill. That every one of his dreams, you would give to him, Lord. That every moment of his day, he would feel such complete love and satisfaction. That each day was better than the day before. Lord, I pray that the flowers in his yard would be bigger than any of the neighbor's flowers, that he would have a definite favor blessing on his life from you, that when he walks into a room, Lord, that people know you have surely blessed him. And I ask that his deepest cries would be healed and his deepest hurts would be healed. And whatever has happened to him in the past, I ask that you erase it as if it never existed. Show him your favor, Lord. I bless him with all that is within me. And I had to practice doing that. Especially every time I hit the Toyota dealership and that school, because they were huge accounts, and here I am dragging these, you know, the thing with two wheels and the flat thing on the bottom and you stack everything up, whatever those are called, and I have to roll it down the stairs, dollies, yeah, and load after load after load. And so when that started happening, I'd go, no, I bless him. He is my favor. He's awesome. I just thank you, Lord, that his hair, every hair will stay in his head for the rest of his life, Lord. I mean, anything I could think of, you know that? That his eyes would never grow dim. It wasn't the same all the time. It was whatever I can think of at the time that I really had, I really realized it was a battle for my own heart. Not for what was happening to me, but for the possession of my own heart. What's the flavor in there? And I'll tell you what, after about 3 weeks, I didn't care. I loved that guy so much. I wanted to be around him all the time. I just had joy when I got in his presence. Nothing in his life changed. Was the account still huge? Yes. Did I have to pack all? Yes. I didn't care. I loved that guy. And he never even knew, that I know of, that I was so angry with him. By me just deliberately blessing, no matter how I felt about it. Okay? So, I've got you a sheet for blessing. And you can have 10 blessings. You can do 50, I don't care, but I want to give you a start. I didn't put 3. I want you to do at least 10 real blessings over whomever you have issues with. So I'd like you to pick someone or someones. You can make copies and do multiple persons and really supernaturally bless them. Okay? This one says thankful, thanks, thanksgiving, and grateful. Thankful, thanks, thanksgiving, and grateful. And it starts, Lord, thank you for, fill in the blank, gives you 10. I've got scriptures that tell you that you are supposed to be thankful whether you want to be or not. And you need to find reasons to be thankful. And you have to search them out. You have to magnify them. And you have to speak them to the Lord. Okay? And I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 scriptures to prove to you that's exactly what God wants you to do, so you know what his will is entirely. Okay? Do you need an example of this one? Being thankful. This one is your third one. This is think on these things. While we're doing this one, would you please pull up our financial blessing for High Point Church? And anybody out there that's listening, this blessing he's pulling up, we got lots of them. You can go to highpointmacon.com and pull up our blessings. Okay? This one is think on these things. We are commanded in Philippians to think on these things. Because it's very easy to think on other things. Okay? So, Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, in big letters, meditate on these things. Okay, so then I put down here, it says, what is your Heavenly Father's point of view? Make yourself think this way over and over and over again until it becomes your dominant perspective. It is imperative you learn how to do this. I'm not understating this. You have to learn how to do this so the devil cannot get you in your conscience, get you in your mind, and beat you up. and use it, because the only way the devil has access to you, because he can't touch you in the spirit, is through your feelings and your thoughts. Okay? So, I've got 1 Corinthians 13, the entire chapter, about love, what love is. And the truth is, no matter how anointed you think you are, no matter how much faith you have, no matter how many miracles you can do, if you don't learn how to receive love and give love, you have absolutely no value at all. There's nothing being added to you at all. Because all those things are gifts. They're not you. They're given to you for the purpose of building the body. But you don't get credit for them. You get credit for love. All right? And so then it breaks down to all seven of those, and you can take some time meditating on those things and thinking about those things. Okay? These are not homework. Whew, some of you just thought, praise the Lord. These are tools. Okay? So here's your homework. Stand up. If you can, if you cannot, stand up, stay where you're seated, as long as you can see the screen. These are what we call our high point blessings. These we say because the Bible says these things. It gives us practice to say what the Bible says, okay, until it gets rooted in our heart. So this is how we do it. We say it over and over and over again until it drops down into our hearts, because we resist these things at first, because we have other things written in our hearts. So it's like a combination lock. You turn it this way, click, turn it that way, click, turn it back again, click, unlock. So we say these things until they're real in our lives. And then when they're real, guess what? We say them even more fervently because they're true. Are you ready? We believe and therefore we speak. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. So we choose to speak life and blessing. And like our good and gracious Heavenly Father, we call things that be not as though they were. So today, we believe God and speak blessings over our finances. We seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things are added to us. Jobs and better jobs, homes and more homes, land and more land, businesses and more businesses, clients and more clients, signed contract, sales and commissions, discounts and dividends, estates and inheritance, interest and income, rebates and returns, checks in the mail, gifts and surprises, finding money, bills decreased and paid off, blessings and increase, raises and promotions. I will say continually, let the Lord be magnified, who takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. I am a giver. I am generous. I tithe. I sow good seed on good ground. I walk in the wisdom of God. Therefore, I prosper. The Lord's blessing is upon me, and He gives me power to get wealth, so that I can be more generous and a blessing to others. Amen. Praise the Lord. You can be seated. So, you at home, make sure you read it. We kind of messed up there. It was a little hard to follow, but you get the idea of this. We have five or six of these online that you can go over and review, okay? So you can start saying those. So here's your homework. Okay, you're going to need this for next week because we're going to build on this next week, okay? So your homework is to find an area in your life that you want to believe God for something, where there's absolutely no proof at all that it exists. Find an area in your life, not somebody else's life, only you, in your life, that you want to believe God for something.
What do you mean no proof exists?
Huh?
What do you mean no proof exists?
It doesn't exist right now. We're going to create it from nothing. Okay? It's not true right now. Whatever it is you're going to pick, it's not true today. We're going to create it by speaking words. Give us an example. Checks in the mail. Finding money. Businesses and more businesses. Land. Signed contracts. None of those exist right now. But we speak them into existence. We're calling things that be not. We're calling something that does not exist as though it exists. Yes. He asked if it can be something we're already believing for that has not manifested yet. Yeah, because some people have these big things on their plate right now. So this is what I want you to do. Write down what it is you want to believe God for and find at least three scriptures. At least three scriptures that proves to your heart, as a matter of fact, that your heart can trust, rely on, and adhere to them, that what you're asking God for, you are allowed to have. What we want to do is nip it in the bud that our heart would condemn us, that our heart would oppose us. The Bible says, whatsoever thing you say, believing in your heart, without doubting, you shall have whatever you say. So we want to remove the fact of doubting by knowing that God's going to back us up. It says in 1 Thessalonians that, hello, Holy Spirit, I need this verse. Thank you. It says that if you know that he hears you, you will have whatever you ask. Okay? But you got to know that he hears you. It says in the verse before that, that if you pray according to his will, you know he hears you. Okay? 1 John, thank you. So it says, if you pray according to his will, he hears you. If you know he hears you, you have whatever you ask. So we want to know in the scriptures at least three verses that proves to you that you know for a fact it's his will for you to have that. Okay? That way you know for a fact you can have that, what you're going to ask for. Go ahead.
How do you know it's in your heart?
Speak loudly.
How do you know it's in your heart and not your head?
We can do your head for now. Go ahead and do your head. How do you know the difference? Because one, you're trying to convince yourself. The other one, you're already convinced. When you're already convinced, it's in your heart. See, people are convinced what they believe is true. That's why they act the way they do, because they believe what they believe is true. So when you know, when it's in your heart, you will believe it's true. When it's in your mind, you're trying to be convinced, validated, reassured, and confirmed that it's true, because you don't own it yet. So that's why we go to somebody else and ask them, you need to agree with me in prayer, because I'm not convinced yet. Okay? It's a very easy assignment. Believe it or not, the hardest part of this assignment is deciding what you want. That's the hardest part, just picking something. Listen, start with something simple. It doesn't have to be hard. Okay? Something simple. And listen, you're not allowed to pick something that you know how to pull it off. It doesn't exist. There's no way you can make it happen. It's got to be God. Okay? And we will watch God do it. Okay? I'll tell you what I'm guilty of in these last minutes. I am guilty of not taking things to God seriously with the intent of getting the victory. I endure them until it gets so bad that it's an emergency, and now I got to take it to God because it's really, my relationships are exploding bad. My body is hurting so desperately. My finances are completely gone. whatever it is. And now you're in emergency mode. You're so emotionally invested in the moment that it's very difficult to believe God and then let go of it and let God make it happen. See, the part you got to do is let go of it. That's the part that is most difficult for people, to just let go of it and let God do it. In other words, you don't think on it anymore. Once you're convinced, you just ask and let it go. Okay? So that's for next week's assignment, for what we're going to be talking about next week. This week, if you choose to, can I get some help here? Can you guys pass these around here? Let me give a couple people and just start handing them out. There's three of them. And let's just give them to people. Mark, will you? All right. Thank you so much, you guys. And these, I think, will actually help you. All right, did you get anything good out of it? Okay, let me pray, and then I'll answer any questions you guys may have. Father, I just thank you for today. If you guys all stop for just a minute and just honor the Lord where we're at right now. Everybody, just honor the Lord right now. Father, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for your wonderful goodness, Lord, that you're teaching us how to gain control of our hearts and how to renew our hearts and how to heal all that we've carried, Lord, and how to change what we say on the inside and what we call true and real, that we can let go of those things that are not the way it is in the kingdom of heaven and learn how to receive from you, to be added by you, and to walk in what you give us as reality. In Jesus' name, I thank you for it. Amen.